The world that you and I live in tonight in the 21st century, so many changes have developed over the years of our lives, and we've seen life change, we've seen societal situations and social issues and all kinds of issues and circumstances in situations in the world that we live in, and they're ever changing. I'm grateful that God is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm grateful to know tonight that I'm confident of the fact, based upon the Word of God, that His eye is on the sparrow and that He watches over you and me. I'm grateful to know that there's not a sparrow that falls to the ground that He is not aware of it. I'm grateful to know that He knows each one of us by name tonight. He knows us personally. He knows us intimately. He knows us far better than we could ever possibly know ourselves. Tonight, once again, I want to reflect upon Mother's Day. You know, it only comes once a year, the day that we honor mothers and celebrate mothers, even though every day of our lives ought to be a celebration and an honor to our mothers. But tonight, I want to look at a passage that is so familiar to everyone. It's the Proverbs passage in chapter 31 of the book of Proverbs in verses 10 to 31. And what I want to reflect upon tonight is the portrait of a godly mother. What is the portrait of a godly mother? There are four things tonight I'm going to speak about, but not necessarily in any particular order. But I want to speak about a gifted mother. I want to speak about a gracious mother. I want to speak about a giving mother, and I want to speak about a godly mother. Now, if you read the very first verse of Proverbs chapter 31, we see the heading, which says, "The words of King Lemuel's mother." The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. And then we skip down to verse 10 of chapter 31, and there is a question that arrests our attention there in verse 10. When the question is asked, who can find a virtuous wife? Or who can find a virtuous woman, as some translations say. But the word virtuous there is a person who is of great integrity. This is a woman who has godly characteristics in her life, who looks at her purity and realizes that the way she approaches life, the way she lives life, that's so vitally important. And no wonder the king's words here reference a question, because he says, who can find a virtuous wife? Now, in the world that you and I live in today, as we well know, that we do not live in a virtuous world whatsoever, for the most part, because the innocence has been removed from people, and for the last 20, 30 years, particularly in the 21st century that we are living in. And so many years ago, when the words of this passage was penned, the king's mother had been one of those mothers, obviously, because of what the passage has to say. King Lemuel's mother obviously was the type of mother that believed in virtue, virtuousness. She was a person that believed in integrity. She was a person that believed in the highest regard of chastity and morals in a person's life. And so as she has tried to teach her son, the words that she has uttered to him now are reflected in this Proverbs passage for this evening. Who can find a virtuous wife? And then the next phrase says, for her worth is far above rubies. Now, if you are a gemologist, you certainly understand the value of diamonds, the value of rubies, emeralds, all of those sorts of things. But the gem that he uses here is for rubies, for her worth is far above rubies. And of course, a ruby is a gemstone that is priceless. I mean, they range in all prices up to thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And what is reflected there in verse 10 is just the worth of this type of a godly wife, a godly mother, a godly woman, that her value is far beyond the price of rubies. And then he goes on and he reflects in verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her. The heart of her husband. And King Lemuel here speaks about this virtuous woman that has a heart that is trustworthy. It's a heart that her husband does not have to worry about. He doesn't have to worry about her integrity because she is the type of person that is going to live the best life that she can. She's going to do everything for the gain of her husband. He says there in the latter part of that verse, so he will have no lack of gain. In other words, her heart is bent toward trying to be the most virtuous wife, the most virtuous woman, so that her husband will not ever have to worry about her faithfulness, about her trustworthiness. We come on down to verse 12. She does him, speaking of her husband, she does him good and not evil. And then notice the phrase, all the days of her life. Not some of the days of her life, but this virtuous, this lady of integrity, this lady of purity and godly character. Her heart is centered on the most important things in all of life. And she does her husband good all the days of her life. And so that is why he can safely trust in her faithfulness to him. When he leaves during the day, he doesn't have to worry about this type of a godly wife, because her focus, her attention is upon being the best wife that she knows how to be the best woman that she knows how to be the best mother that she could ever be, to be the best grandmother that she could ever be. And so right in the introductory words here in verses 10 and following, he gives us this this portrait of this godly wife, of this godly mother. And then in verse 13, notice she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's a very gifted mother. She's a gifted woman. She is someone who takes the God-given talents that have been given to her. And she takes these materials and she willingly works with her hands. There are many of you that are great seamstresses, something that many people are just gifted with, something that was learned in particular many, many years ago, because there were so many people who worked with in making sweaters and making afghans and making doilies and all of those kinds of things. I mean, from those early days of American life, there were those people that this was just a part of their daily lives. And they learned it. It was a skill that was learned. Now, in our day and time, we have so much more in the way of modern machinery, sewing machines that do all kinds of applique and all of those kinds of things. And those of you ladies out there that are in the quilting circles that you're in, you understand all of what I'm speaking about. But in earlier days of life, there were people that stitched those quilts that they made. And they would put little tiny stitches as they stitched those pieces together and then put them together, and then they would put the batting or the cotton in between, and they would quilt those quilts. And when you look at verse 13, this kind of virtuous wife, was someone who took those gifts, that took those talents, and was willing. Notice, and willingly. She wasn't forced to do it. She wasn't made to do it. But she willingly works with her hands. And then verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. Now, what did the merchant ships do in those early days of life? Those merchant ships would bring food, and they would bring it from the various locations in which it was shipped into the various cities. Today, we would have all kinds of produce and all kinds of things that you would find in the grocery stores that would be made in other states or even might be brought in and shipped from overseas. But in this particular passage, King Lemuel compares this virtuous woman. He says she is like, notice the simile that he uses there, the figure of speech, to say this woman, she's like a merchant ship's. Why? Because she brings her food, notice, from afar. Verse 15 says, she also rises while it's yet night. This mom, this wife, this godly person, this godly grandmother, this virtuous woman whose price that you and I could never put a price tag on, she also rises while it is yet night. In other words, this is the conscientious woman. She is the woman that is concerned about her household. And so she is, there's not a lazy bone whatsoever in her body. She's willing to work with her hands. She's willing. She rises while it's yet night. And notice, provides food for her household. Let me tell you, women used to fix for their families 3 meals a day. I mean, they would rise up early in the morning. They would have breakfast on the table for the husband to go to work and for the kids to have their breakfast before they went off to school. Now, in our modern day time that we live in, there it takes two people working in the family in order to keep the family going. And I'm sure a lot of times there are many kids that are left to go to school that have not had this kind of food and nurturing. And so thank God today for schools that have the breakfast programs so that children that are not privileged to be able to sit down at home and have their breakfast meal with the family. I'm grateful for the many opportunities that we have in our world today where kids can go to school and still be fed a nourishing breakfast before they begin the day. But in our passage that King Lemuel speaks about, he speaks about this woman, and she gets up early in the morning and she provides food for her household. And notice, and a portion for her maidservants, for those that would be there as servants to help in whatever situation it was in the home or out on the farm or out in the fields or whatever it might be. But she was a person that provided food for those that worked there. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. Now, notice the word she considers. She's trying to be a resourceful. She's trying to be this resourceful, giving mother. She's gracious with her food. She's gracious to work willingly and to sow with her hands and to try to be resourceful for her family. And so she considers, she thinks about, she ponders about a field out there. From her profits, notice she plants a vineyard. I'm sure that many of you have gardens. And certainly gardens were a part of American life in the early days and throughout the many ages of time. People have planted gardens. People worked the gardens. They tilled the gardens. They planted the things that were in their gardens. And this profitable mom, this profitable wife, this godly person, she uses every resource that she has been gifted with in order to provide and to make for her household. And so she considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. In other words, this is someone, even though she may be frail, she may be a frail person or whatever it may be, but she has strength. You know, I think about the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians 4:13, where he said, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. You see, that is the secret there. I can do whatever I have to do through Christ who gives me strength. This godly wife, this godly person whose wealth is beyond counting. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. I'm sure there are many mothers all over the world tonight that oftentimes are at their wits' end. I'm sure that they've exhausted all the reserve of strength they have in their bodies, but yet somewhere they reach down into the deep reservoir of their heart and soul, and they gird themselves with strength. You see, there is something that motivates them in life, and that motivation is the faithfulness. It's that commitment to be the best mom in all the world they can be, to be the best wife to her husband that they can be, to be the best grandmother to her children that they can be. And King Lemuel's mother has given him great advice here and speaks about the strength of this incredible person out there. I know that many people at the end of the day, they've exhausted the resources of their strength. But, you know, when we're weak, that's when we're truly strong, because we reach into the reservoir of our resources through Christ, who keeps on giving us strength. In verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. Let me tell you, there's always a light in the window. There's always a light there at home. And this godly, wonderful portrait of this person, she sees to it that her lamp does not go out by night. Let me tell you, Jesus is the light of her life. Jesus is the light of the world tonight. The whole world was lost, the song says, in the darkness of sin, but the light of the world is Jesus. Let me tell you, I am sure for each and every one of you out there, you had a mom that had the light of Christ in her heart and life. I know there are people all over the world tonight that do not have a mother who has the light of Christ in her eyes. But I want you to know, when King Lemuel speaks about this kind of virtuous wife, this virtuous, godly, priceless, caring, loving, faithful, devoted, committed person here, she makes sure that her household is well cared for, is well taken care of, and the lamp and the light is always glowing. Let me tell you, even in the midst of tiredness, in the midst of a depleting energy, there is still a light in the window of her heart and in the window of her life. And I believe that is because this is the person that has a vertical relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only did he shine his light upon that person, but that person received the light of the Almighty and carries that light in her heart and in her soul every day of her life. Verse 19 shares how that she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. And of course, that's dealing once again with sewing and all of the things that deal with the machinery of whatever type of spindle and distaff it was, maybe like a treadle sewing machine or the spinning wheel or whatever it may be. But she stretches out her hands. She's willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that her husband, that her children are secure, and that she does her part in playing her role as this godly person, as Scripture purports her to be. And so this portrait is so vividly painted here by King Lemuel because of what his mother has taught him. Verse 19 says about she stretches out her hands. And then verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. Let me tell you, this mother is a giving mother. She's not only a gifted mother, she's a gracious mother to her family, but she's a giving mother, not only to her own household, but verse 20 says she extends her hand to the poor. Let me tell you, she is not self-serving. She is not someone who is selfish in her lifestyle. She is not selfish in her duties, but she reaches out to those that are needy out there. In fact, verse 20 says, yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. In the world that you and I live in the 21st century, which is a very selfish society and world that we live in, so many people only think of their own self, of their own needs, never reaching out to that person down the road, the beggar by the roadside. I always think about the story in the Bible of the Samaritan, the good Samaritan that came by when others passed up the needy, poor soul there in the bar ditch on the side of the road. Let me tell you, the Proverbs passage, this mother in this particular passage, she would not be that kind of person that would have passed by. She would have done everything that she could because she extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. Let me tell you, I've often quoted, and I love to quote from songwriters' hymns because they speak much into the life. I think they breathe much into the life and give us great examples and give us great food for thought, great spiritual depth. Great bricks on which to build our spiritual foundational lives. But I think of that song, and I've quoted it often, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, help me live for others so that I might live like thee. Let me tell you, Jesus reached out to the needy. Jesus reached out to the poor in spirit. Jesus reached out to those that were hungry. Let me tell you, when you go back and you read when Jesus was on the mountainside and the flocks would come to him and the crowds would begin to gather and they were hungry. And Jesus realized that he had to, first of all, meet the physical need in their lives before he would start trying to give them the spiritual food. Let me tell you, Jesus would take the loaves and the fishes. Jesus would see that those that were there on the mountainside that were hungry, they needed physical sustenance to give them strength to carry on in the journey. But let me tell you, Jesus also then gave them something spiritual, something that would not fade away, but something that would stick to the very core of their very being. This wonderful portrait of this godly mother that King Lemuel tells us about, that his mother taught him about. She extends her hand to the poor. Let me tell you, people who pass by, those that are hungry, when I think of tonight all over the world, one of the things that seems to be a great challenge in our world, last evening on Channel 13, OETA, I believe it was, they were talking about in places in the world where the water system is so very tragic, even though our earth is filled with 3/4 of it is filled with water. Did you realize that they are saying, even with all of the amount of bodies of water in our world, that 10 years from today, that water is going to be such a scarce commodity that 40%, there'll be a greater demand than there will be for the supply. Folks, let me tell you, the more I read the book of Revelation, the more I see vividly every day the portrait of a world that God is painting for you and me to say, look up, redemption is going to draw nigh one of these days. Let me tell you, with all of the things that we see, And when I think about the poor and the needy and the hungry tonight, when I think about here in America that there are children that are starving to death, when I think about here in Stevens County, when I think about in our own city of Duncan, and to realize that kids are hungry and that kids don't have food, and yet we often waste so much food. And this godly portrait of this woman that is painted so beautifully on the canvas here of the pages of Scripture, she's one of those, and she looks, she's got an eye watching all around her, seeing what she can do to make a difference in people's lives. No wonder Max Lucado would say it's what we do in the here and the now that will make the difference in the then and the there. There are poor people, there are needy people, there are hungry people all over the world tonight. Some 50% of the world tonight will go to bed hungry, starving children in second and third world countries, but not only there, also here in America as well. And then I notice in verse 21, she's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestries for herself. In other words, she's such a great seamstress that her clothing, this says, is fine linen and purple. In other words, she takes and she uses the best that she can find, and she uses it for the purpose of her household and others. Verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gates. You will remember in Scripture, the gates of the cities were places where all kinds of things took place. Public announcements were made at the gates of the city. Courts were convened at the gates of the city. Many decisions were made at the gates of the city. And verse 23, our passage says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Notice that. She makes linen garments and sells them. Notice once again her resourcefulness. Because of her giftedness, because of her talents, to be able to look at it and to put it together. And notice she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Verse 25 is a wonderful verse. It says strength and honor. Strength and honor are her clothing. Notice that. Where does she get the up just to keep on keeping on, to keep on pursuing? Let me tell you, strength and honor are her clothing. Notice she shall rejoice, future tense. She shall rejoice when? In time to come. Notice she opens her mouth with wisdom. Let me tell you, she is a mother that teaches. She is a wife that teaches. And notice when she opens her mouth, she doesn't just open it just for the sake of opening it, but she opens her mouth with wisdom. With wisdom, where does that wisdom come from? The Bible says that he gives wisdom to us liberally when we ask for it. She opens her mouth with wisdom. She's got something to say. She's got something to pass on. She has got something that is important, and she wants her family and others to know it. On her tongue is the law of kindness. You see, when she speaks, her words are to be kind. They're to be filled with wisdom. She has something to say when she speaks. Verse 27 says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. This is not a mom that gets involved in all of this idle palavering and chatter out there in the world. She's not interested in gossip. She's not interested in all of these flaky things that have no meaning or concept whatsoever. But she's someone that makes every moment of every day count in the very best possible way, to be committed, to be devoted, to be passionate, to be faithful to her family, to her God-given gifts and talents, and then to reach out and to shower others with the same type of blessing. Notice verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. I want to talk about that for just a few moments there. Her children rise up and call her blessed. I don't know how many times throughout the years I've sat with families at funeral homes, in my office to prepare for someone's memorial service. And invariably, her family, the husband, the children, they rise up and they speak blessed things about their precious mom, their precious wife, their precious grandmother. Notice not only do her children rise up and honor her with great respect and great admiration, but her husband also, and notice what he does, he praises her. Let me tell you, I really believe that moms in the world today, I spoke on that this morning about acknowledgement and affection and attention and affirmation and acknowledgement in all of those things that we spoke about this morning. Let me tell you, when you praise your mother, do you realize that you are honoring God by praising her? Because she is a creation that God created, and God created mothers, and God created them to be special. And God created wives to be special and to be a great helpmate to their spouse. And in this particular passage, no wonder we see the summation here of the children that praise their wonderful, wonderful mom. No wonder the husband, he can trust her. She's a person of great integrity. She's a person of calm. She's a person of strength. She's a person that looks around at her surroundings and the environment where she is, and she not only sees her family's needs and tries to meet those needs, but she tries to reach out and to help others. Notice a few moments ago we read where she made things willingly with her hands. She sells them and the profits that she made. She didn't just use it for her own good and for her own family. She took care of the needs of her family. But let me tell you, she looked around and saw needs in other people's lives. Let me tell you, no wonder her children would rise up and call her blessed. Verse 29 says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. I believe the reason that we see those words stated there is because this person, that it was far above rubies, the price of her. It was because of her focus. Her focus was not displaced somewhere. Her focus was centered on what God had called her to do and be in the family. God had given her a role, and God has different roles for men and women. God has different roles for the wife. God has different roles for a mother. God has different roles for a grandmother. And this is the person that excels. Notice in verse 29, she didn't have time to be bothered with all the menial things in life that people want to talk about and feud about and fuss about and argue about. She wanted her life to be a life that was productive, a life that stood for something, a life that amounted to something. She realized that at the end of the day, there is accountability, and that accountability is to stand before God, her maker, her creator, because she would give an account of the years of her life. And when her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and many daughters have done well, but you excel, notice them all. And then verse 30, charm is deceitful, beauty is passing. Let me tell you, she realized that it wasn't always about the outward appearance. In fact, the Bible says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You see, it was okay. She wanted to be her best, look her best. But she realized charm is deceitful, beauty is passing. But notice the king says, but a woman who fears, that word fears means to reverence, to respect the Lord. To be intimately connected to the Lord. This person in the Proverbs passage is intertwined with connecting vertically to the Creator. And she has great respect. She has great reverence. That's why she would be commended here by her family, is because of the way she lived her life, the way she prioritized her life and realized, what are the most important things that I can do, that I can leave behind. There's an old song many, many years ago, probably 75, 80, 100 years ago. When I depart for worlds unknown over the borderline, will I be missed by those I love? What will I leave behind? Let me tell you, moms, you're leaving a legacy every day of your life. You're either leaving a positive legacy as this godly mother did in Proverbs 31, or else you are leaving a legacy that will not have many footprints on the sands of time. She chose. She made a decision. It was a conscious decision to realize that outward beauty perishes. Outward beauty is fading away, but the inward beauty of her heart, the respect that she had, the awesome fear, reverence of the Lord. Notice, but a woman who fears the Lord, who respects the Lord, she shall be praised. Notice, then we see in the final verse, there in verse 31. So King Lemuel's mother's advice to him is summed up. Give her, give this gracious woman, this godly woman, this gifted woman, this incredibly talented person, the one who has faithfully lived to serve her family, her husband, people out there. Give her of the fruit of her hands. That's the labor of her hands, the labor that she had labored all the days of her life. And notice it says, and let her own works, the things that she's done in life, let her own works praise her in the gates. Moms, wives, grandmothers today, may you be the portrait of this godly woman that is summarized here so beautifully in the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs. And may your life so shine, and may your life be so well lived that your children will rise up and call you blessed, and your husband also, and he praises her. May God bless you. Thank you for tuning in tonight on this Mother's Day once again. And may God's love, may his light, may his grace, may his strength be with you all the days of your life. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father God, if there be one here tonight that's listening to this broadcast or in the days to come who tunes in to our website and listens to it, Father God, if there's a mom out there that has never trusted Christ as her personal Lord and Savior, or if there's a mom out there that needs to say, I need to get on board and change some of the priorities in my life and to live this portrait that is painted so beautifully in this passage tonight. Oh God, speak to their hearts. Save those that are lost. May they recognize their sinful ways and know that they need a living, risen Savior to forgive them of their sins and to come into their heart and life. Oh God, I pray that someone would pray the sinner's prayer. God, I pray for mothers everywhere tonight that, oh God, that their children will rise up and call them blessed. Their husband also, and he praises her. God, be with them. Challenge them to refocus life. And Father, to focus it upon the most important things and the most meaningful things in all the world. And that is being the godly person that would be so pleasing in your sight, that you would say to them someday, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, we thank you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.